Let us all stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Today's reading is going to be taken from the book of Malachi. We are reading from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 3. What I will do as the church is that when we reach to chapter 4, verse 3, please do join me in the reading of that last verse. So, Malachi chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Verse 3, please join me. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." May the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and inspired word. Amen.
Today, a very important message. I've been wanting to preach this all week and not really sure if my voice would let me. So I'm preaching on healing, and I needed healing. So thank God he's healed me enough, maybe 80%, so I could, I believe, get through this message. I hope my voice doesn't bother you. It is a little, you know, doesn't sound exactly clear, but it doesn't hurt at all, my throat, so I don't want my voice to hurt you. So my message today is Jesus coming with healing in his wings. And if you remember anything from this message, remember the verse. Remember the Word of God. And let this Word walk with you through the rest of your life. Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." If that's not beautiful, I don't know what is. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Beloved, we are in great need of healing today. There's not one person here who doesn't need healing. We need the healing touch of Jesus in our lives. Every one of us. Our country is in great need of healing. Do you know one of eight in our nation are in a depression? One of eight. People need healing. There's so much wounds, so many wounds today. We've heard of this opioid crisis. We've heard of that. Do you know in the late 1990s, pharmaceutical companies assured the medical community that patients would not become addicted to prescription opioid pain relievers. Now, I don't want to question motives, but you have to wonder really the motive that the pharmaceuticals had to say, oh, these will not be damaging or addicting. But nevertheless, opioids have become highly addictive. It is now a national health crisis. And this crisis illustrates the need we have of healing in our nation. They say about 25% who are on taking these pain medications, these opioid drugs, misuse them. About 25%. A good number of people transition from the opioid to heroin. And that's why there's so many who are addicted to heroin today. They say about 80% of the people who are now heroin addicts first began with this pain medication of opioids. The consequence of this is that every day, 115 Americans are dying from overdose. Maybe it could be intentional. Some are intentionally overdosing because they say they have no hope, they have no future, they have no life, and they'd just rather die. This is a terrible, terrible problem. I saw yesterday in the news, in a Boston paper, that a drug bust in Massachusetts, they got 33 pounds of fentanyl, which is a synthetic type of opioid drug. And the article said that amount of drug, 33 pounds, was enough to theoretically kill every person in Massachusetts. That's how dangerous this drug is. And I don't know even the state of our church here. I don't know of anyone taking opioids, but if you are, be very, very careful. Because obviously we don't want you to come under this terrible addiction and then go into other things like heroin and then to total depression, and then even into suicide. Many are. People need healing today. I read this week about a longtime Hollywood executive, Jill Messick, who got caught up in all the abuse scandals that are overtaking Hollywood. And she was working with Rose McGowan, and one of the early ones who had been abused by Harvey Weinstein. But anyway, she got caught up in that whole mess, and she ended up committing suicide. I mean, obviously a person of status, of wealth, of education, it really doesn't matter. People need healing. Every one of us here need healing. And what a great passage of Scripture this is. Jesus comes with healing in His wings. Let me just say a couple things as we come to the end of this book of Malachi. The end of the Old Testament. The end of the Tanakh, the end of God-inspiring prophets. There would be 400 years of silence between Malachi and then Matthew. But you know, it's very interesting how the Old Testament ends and how the New Testament ends. They both end the same way, with the coming of the Messiah. Malachi ends in chapter 4, verse 1, "For behold, the day of the Lord cometh." The day of the Lord, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, where it says, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's how Revelation ends. That Jesus Christ, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So they end the same way, but actually they end in somewhat opposite ways. What's the last word of your Old Testament? The last word of your Old Testament is what? A curse. The curse was still here. God has given His people prophets and priests and kings, and He's given them His word, and He's given them His law, but still there was the curse. And then you read, you flip to the next page, and Jesus has come. And so the Old Testament ends, yes, with the coming of Messiah, but with a curse. But the New Testament ends with, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," and with grace. That's how the New Testament ends. Even so, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We're just going to look at two things this morning from this passage. First of all, we're going to see the unescapable disaster to the wicked. And then we're going to see an unparalleled deliverance to the believers, to the righteous, to the ones that fear God. Now remember, Malachi is really dealing with two great objections. From the end of chapter 3, the people ask a question. What's the question of chapter 3, verse 18? The question is, where is the God of judgment, of justice, of righteousness? Where is God? And Malachi is really answering that question. Where is God? He's ruling. He's triumphant. He's coming. That's the answer. And then they ask the question, is it vain to serve God? Is there really profit in serving the Lord? And this passage answers that question. It is never meaningless to serve the Lord. There's always value and true eternal blessing and profit in serving Jesus. Amen? So Malachi's dealing with that. Now, we see incredible disaster. Malachi uses very stark and very dramatic metaphors. Remember, he talked about dung on the face. That's pretty stark to think about, dung on your face. He talked about that. He talked about divorce being like the violence of taking a knife and stabbing someone and then leaving them dying in their blood and then covering over that dying victim with a garment. That's like what, that's spiritually kind of like what divorce does to the home. It's just like an act of violence against the home. So Malachi uses very, very dramatic metaphors. But notice his word here to describe the disaster, the devastation of the coming day of the Lord. He says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, notice the two words. Who are the ones going to be burned in that verse? Who are they described as? They're described as what? As proud and the ones who do wickedly. So this connects these three verses to the chapter before. If you look in verse number 15, where the people were saying, is it useful? Is it of value to serve God? Because look at the proud in verse 15. They look so what? Happy. And the wicked, they're what? They're set up. They're established. Man, they're prospering. So he's answering. He's dealing with this. Hey, here's the end result of the proud. Here's the end of the wicked. This is what will ultimately happen to them. There is a day of the Lord coming. So Malachi is dealing with this. He's saying, if you do not think there is a fundamental difference between the one who fears God and serves God and loves God and the one who does not, who lives his life in pride and wickedness, and you don't think there's a fundamental difference between these two things, both here and now and in the day of God's great judgment, the day of the Lord, think again. Think again. There's a difference. The day of the Lord is coming. In the Old Testament, what is the day of the Lord associated with? Go to Isaiah 13 very quickly. I really want to get to point two, but I don't want to just run through this very important point of God's judgment, the day of the Lord. Isaiah 13 speaks of the day of the Lord. There are many passages we could look at. If you're interested in this subject, I would definitely read Joel chapters 1 and 2 also, but let's just go to Isaiah 13. The day of the Lord here is described as a time of, in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 6, he says, "Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, every man's heart shall melt." It will be a time of calamity, a time of terror, a time of great fear, the day of the Lord, when the Lord comes and people who are not saved, he's describing what it will be like for the unsaved, for the lost, for the ones who are living without God now, without the fear of God. In verse 9, he says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." There will be great wrath, calamity, devastation, then cosmic changes. The stars of the heaven, Jesus spoke about, right? The moon turning to blood and the star and the sun not giving forth its light. So here, the prophets all agree. The Word of God is consistent. The stars of heaven, the constellations thereof, shall not give the light. And the sun shall be darkened in his going forth. And the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Now notice verse 11. "And I will punish the world for their evil and the" who? What's the word he uses? The wicked. Where did you see that? Malachi. "And the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the" who? Proud. Where'd you see that? In Malachi. "The wicked and the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." So do you see what we're saying? The proud and wicked may seem happy now and prosperous now, but it's clear they will burn like the chaff. They will burn like the stubble. You might say, is it really going to be that bad? I don't think I could describe how bad it's going to be. You say, am I just trying to scare people? No, I'm preaching, this is the Word of God. You know, and the Bible's so consistent. You know the very first prophecy given in the Bible? I was reading about it last night in Brother Ryan's book. The very first prophecy in the Bible was given by Enoch. But it's recorded in the next to last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. And you know what Enoch prophesied of in the book of Jude? It tells us in Jude, verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all." Here it is. "To convince all the ungodly among them and all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against." I think there were a lot of ungodly people there. Wow, so from the very first to the end, the day of the Lord for the ungodly, for the unsaved, for the ones who are living without God, who seem so happy and set up now, there's going to be an incredible devastation. And they are going to be burned in that day of judgment when Jesus Christ Himself comes back with the sharp sword out of His mouth. Paul says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. Our God is a God of judgment. Where's the God of judgment? He's coming. He's coming. And every reckless word, every faithless deed will be exposed. The unsaved will be exposed. The proud and those that do wickedly, it says, shall be stubble. You say, wait, is he exaggerating? Wait a minute. You ever read Psalm 1? The first of all the songs in the book of the songs in the Bible, the book of praise to God? Psalm 1. It's a song about the godly and the ungodly. It says that the ungodly, for them it's not like the godly who are truly like the tree planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, but they will be like what? They will be like the chaff, which is exactly what Malachi says here. They shall be like the stubble, which is similar to the chaff. The day cometh, it will burn them up. And it says that they shall not be left either root or branch. Now, the root to the branch, that's the extremities of a tree. The root is the bottom of it. The branch is the top of it. And he says, they will not remain at all. They will be completely burned. And again, that's the opposite of Psalm 1, where it says, the godly have fruitful branches and strong roots that reach out to the waters, the water of life, which is the Word of God. They will be destroyed from the root to the branch. So this is a very serious passage of Scripture. So we see this unescapable disaster to the wicked. They're not going to escape the flaming sword that comes forth from the mouth of Jesus if they're not saved. But now look at verse 2. And here we see an unparalleled deliverance. What a beautiful deliverance. Here are incredible promises for true believers. And how are true believers described in verse 2? But unto you that fear my name. Fear my name. The idea of fearing God's name is believing Him, reverencing Him, respecting Him, loving Him. This is not an unholy fear that runs from God. This is the holy sense of who God is that causes you to trust in the Lord. This same word is used to describe the believers in the passage that we're considering in chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And sometimes it might seem, what's the use? Here's the use. Them that fear His name. By the way, this is a theme throughout the book. But unto you that fear, what does it say? Fear the pastor? No. Fear the church? No. Fear what other people are going to say of you? Fear my name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. This is the theme of Malachi. Where go back to chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, if I be a master, where is my fear? And then he says, O priest that despise my name. You see, they didn't fear His name. They despised His name. They didn't fear God. They despised His name. But unto you that fear my name. And even chapter 1 of Malachi says, His name shall be great among the heathen. Three times in verse 11, my name shall be great among the heathen. And in chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, my name is dreadful among the heathen. And chapter 2 and verse 5, he spoke about those early priests who were afraid before His name, who had a fear and served with a fear of God. But unto you that fear my name. And then there's three things here. The Son of Man, Jesus coming with healing in His wings. We see three things. We see, first of all, His coming will be like a dawning of a new day. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. So here's, again, another metaphor. Malachi's painting a picture of a beautiful, beautiful blue sky and the beautiful sun rising to bring forth a brand new day. The dawning of a new day. The coming of Jesus is likened to the rising of the sun and the beginning of a new era. And it will be. When He comes again, He's going to establish His kingdom. We call it the millennium. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. This is what we're praying for the Son of Man to come and to bring about and to usher in righteousness. Shall the Son of Righteousness come? Jesus is our righteousness and He robes us with His righteousness. The Son of Righteousness will arise. What does this speak of? The sun rising and the beginning of a new day. I believe this is a metaphor of the fullness of God's salvation being established on the earth with joy and comfort and peace. The coming of Jesus will bring forth the fullness of the new covenant. Now, we're New Testament Christians. Amen? But you know, we haven't seen the fullness of the New Testament yet. In other words, the full completion of New Testament promises. The full completion of New Testament promises is that Jesus is going to come back. We say, this is what He told us when He established the communion. He says, I will not drink this fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in my kingdom. And all Israel will be saved, and the promises God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, and Jesus will sit on the throne of David, and He will rule and reign. And then we will see the full expression of the new covenant when Jesus returns and when He reigns. And the Lord, Zechariah 14 verse 9, shall be king over all the earth. That's the fullness of the New Testament. When Jesus comes back and He's ruling on the earth. Hallelujah. That's a new day. King of kings ruling on the earth. We need Him. In that day shall there be one Lord, His name one. Do you know what will the millennium be like? What will it be like, that new day? It will be characterized by holiness. Zechariah 14, verse 20, in that day there shall be holiness unto the Lord. It says in Zephaniah that He will rejoice over us with singing. Imagine singing with Jesus. We're going to rest in His love. There will be perfect holiness. There will be peace on earth. Jerusalem will dwell in safety. The nations will beat their swords into plowshares. That's when the nations ought to beat their swords into plowshares. In other words, when there will be no war. There's still going to be war coming ahead. It's called at least Armageddon. And there's war all over the world. But at that time when Jesus comes again, the nations will be at peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. See, our proud and wicked world, I hate to say, but they think they can bring in the peace Isaiah spoke about without the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and He will rule, and the increase of His government and of His peace, there shall be no end to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. There's going to be peace in His kingdom. There will be spirit fullness in His kingdom. He will pour out a spirit upon all flesh. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 on that day. Ezekiel 36, He says, I will put My Spirit in you, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Now turn to Habakkuk, please. If you can find it. Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Oh, you're looking up on your cell phone. You know that. It's right there. Okay. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. What will it be like in the kingdom of Jesus? It's hard for us to imagine that our King Jesus is ruling and reigning on earth. He will. He's coming again. And it will be a dawning of a new day, a new government, new peace. There will be holiness. There will be spirit fullness. He will rule with a rod of iron. Any disobedience, He will put it down. And the last thing here, Habakkuk tells us in chapter 2, verse 14, is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the New Testament. That's New Covenant promise from Jeremiah chapter 31, that the earth will be filled with His knowledge. Hallelujah. Won't that be great? There's a lack of knowledge of God today. There is a tremendous dearth of the Word of God today. There is a famine in the land of the Word of God. There's an ignorance of the Word of God, but not in the kingdom of Jesus when He rules and reigns. But now here's my question to you. Do we have to wait for the kingdom to have holiness? To have peace? To have spirit fullness? To have a knowledge of Him? Do we have to wait? Well, we have to wait for His kingdom before that's worldwide in that sense. But we don't have to wait to have that now. In your heart, in your life. Can you be filled with the Spirit? Hallelujah. We're commanded, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Can you have peace through Jesus? Jesus said, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Are you to be holy? Am I to be holy? Be ye holy. God says, as I am holy. Yes, we're to be holy. And are we to have His knowledge grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? All these things, we can experience this new day now, hallelujah, in Jesus Christ. When He comes into your heart, when He causes you to be born again, when He gives you His Holy Spirit indwelling, and then you can be filled with His Holy Spirit. And when He gives you the knowledge that He died on the cross for your sins and rose again, you can be filled with the knowledge of God. We have the Word of God. Amen. You know, when we become saved, a new day dawns. When we become saved. Remember Jacob? When he wrestled with the angel all night, he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, touched Jacob's thigh. But then it says, when the day broke, it was a new day dawned, the sun rose upon Jacob. He had a new day and he had a new name. He had called him Israel, Prince. And he had a new walk. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. But that limp was a limp of love. And so when we're saved, a new day dawns and we have a new walk and we're given a new name in glory. Hallelujah. The dawning of a new day. Secondly, though, I want us to see there's healing of all brokenness. Go back to the passage in Malachi. In Malachi, where he says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. That word arise is literally like the sun rising. With healing in His wings. Healing. This word healing speaks of deliverance from all disease, disaster, and death. Now, when Jesus came the first time, did He heal? Did He heal the blind and the deaf? And obviously, yes, He healed the dead. When He comes again, so He will heal anyone who needs healing. The blind will see. The deaf will hear in the kingdom. In the kingdom of Jesus. He's going to heal your ears and you will hear His voice. And you will sing with your voice as well as with your hands. The human experience is one of sin and sickness and death. You could be healthy today and dead tomorrow. Like that football player, Indianapolis Colts, got run over and killed. How tragic. But that's a strong man. What is our life? We're here. It's a vapor. This human experience is full of sin and sickness and death. And we need His healing. This healing speaks of abundant peace, a deliverance from all disease, all disaster. Look at these beautiful verses. These I found in Jeremiah. If you want, go to Jeremiah. It's better to, you know, I'm actually torn sometimes. Should I put them on the screen? As I know some of you might not bring your Bible, and I do this for you. But I don't do this so you don't bring your Bible. That's the only thing I'm afraid of, because I like it when you bring your Bible. Now, I prefer a paper Bible, but I know I'm old-fashioned. If you look it up on the phone or your whatever, that's beautiful too. It's okay. But just, you know what? Sometimes I would just like it to go to Jeremiah, because there are a number of verses there. We're going to just read these verses. Jeremiah 17:14. It's good to just read it in your own Bible. Here's a prayer. Can you pray it with me? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For Thou art my praise. Jeremiah 30. Look at verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 17. And these verses have somewhat of a millennial context to them. But here God is saying to His people in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. Read it please with me. He says, and again, if you don't have it in your Bible, there it is. I put it up there. I asked you to turn there first. Tricked you on that one, right? No, I'm just kidding. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. I will restore health unto thee, God says to His people. Look in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Again, God is promising His people they're going to come out of the captivity and be restored to the land. And God would bring healing to the nation. And that's perhaps the temporary fulfillment. But the ultimate fulfillment is when He comes with healing in His wings and He sets up His kingdom in Jerusalem and rules and reigns, as we mentioned, in peace and righteousness and with holiness and spirit fullness. And here He says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. I will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them, He says in verse 8. I will cleanse them from their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned. So the point is simply this. The coming of Jesus will bring ultimate healing, comprehensive healing. Any disaster and death caused by sin. You know, maybe you'll struggle your whole life with the pain of abuse. Or maybe you'll struggle your whole life with the temptation of a particular sin. Won't it be good for that temptation to be completely gone? Until then, we just have to keep fighting that pain and keep fighting those temptations. Maybe some of you will struggle with bitterness because of what somebody said or has done to you. And you will struggle with that. And you will seek to apply the gospel to that to the best of your ability, spiritually speaking, and with the grace God gives to you. But we're all weak in this flesh. We all need healing. And there will be an ultimate and comprehensive healing when we see Jesus. Hallelujah. The evil of this world can scourge us 1,000 different ways and wound us in ways deeper than just, I lost my voice or I broke my arm. The real healing has to be done on the inside. So the point I'm making here today is, there's healing coming, but what about now? I have to ask myself, what about now? Is there healing for us today? Are we to pray for healing? Do you believe God can heal you and us? Sometimes we wonder. Look at this verse in Jeremiah 14, verse 19. He says, why hast thou smitten us and there is no healing for us? We look for peace and there is no good. The time of healing and behold trouble. Have you ever looked for healing and just got more hurt? You look for healing and just more pain? Yesterday I was praying, Lord, heal my throat so I can preach, Lord. Woe is me if I can't preach, I felt like Paul. And then I go out to the kitchen to say something to Debbie, and then I just got grabbed by this 59-year-old birthday pain. It was just like, I never felt that one before. It just like came all around me. It was like some kind of a muscle spasm. It was like,
did this just go off? Oh, so we better put that on.
And so now I'm praying, Lord, take this away. You know what? Today, that's gone. Praise God. I even lifted all this stuff out of the closet this morning. But, you know, there's 1,000 things we need healing from. And we wonder, Lord, is there healing for me? So the question is, are we to pray for healing? Is there healing for us? From the 1,000 wounds that scourge us from this evil world? And what's the answer? Are we to pray for healing? Yes. Here's a prayer. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Amen. You can pray for healing.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Psalm 6, verse 2. I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. You got vexed bones, broken bones, osteoporosis? Weak bones, broken bones. Heal me, Lord. There is healing today. Now, I do not say that any sickness you have must be cleansed this side of heaven. And that if you have a sickness and you're not healed, it's just your lack of faith in God. That's wicked to me, that kind of teaching. Because what about our dear deaf people? Am I going to tell them, oh, the Lord will heal your deafness if you just have enough faith? And if you don't have enough faith, it must be your sin. Wouldn't that be horrible to tell them? That's what they will hear in some churches they go to. I believe they have great faith. And they are deaf. And I even want to say this to our dear deaf people today. In Jesus' name, you have the greatest healing. You have the healing from sin and from death and from hell. The greatest healing is to be forgiven of your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, they may be deaf and they cannot hear my voice right now. But guess whose voice they have heard? I thought of this. They had faith to hear the voice of Jesus speak to their hearts. Amen? Hallelujah! Praise God! We thank God for deaf people who hear the voice of Jesus! The greatest voice! And one day, they will see His face! That's not a problem, they have eyes. Their eyes work. But one day they will hear His actual voice too. And they will not need interpreters for millions and millions of years in glory. So my point is that in Jesus, the best healing is from sin. The best healing is forgiveness. Look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2. Please, in verse 24, if you could go there. 1 Peter chapter 2, and Peter quotes here from Isaiah, the great Isaiah 53 passage, where Isaiah says, by His stripes we are healed. But what is the essence of that healing? Well, Peter tells us the essence of that healing is not just from physical sickness, but it's from sin. And it's from destruction. And Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross. And Peter says, in His own self, He bare our sins in His own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Notice, He doesn't say that you should live unto perfect health. Can a Christian with great faith get cancer and even die from that cancer? Yeah. Eventually, all of us are going to die from something. Maybe a heart attack. Maybe cancer. You're going to die physically, right? So you don't just die from old age. Something gets sick and breaks down. We're going to break down in this flesh. Now, I do believe that when we live for the Lord, He brings us healing, and we can have as Christians, if we live right, we can have better health than unsaved people. I was talking to someone the other day, man, I've saved a whole lot of money and a whole lot of pain by not drinking through these years. Man, you know how many millions of dollars I've saved? Not drinking, not smoking, and doing things that damage our body. But still we're going to die. But Peter tells us that Jesus took our sins in His own body, that we could live unto righteousness. The Son of Righteousness comes with healing in His wings, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe His Word gives healing, don't you? Here's a verse. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. The most pleasant words are the words of God, the healing of God's Word. Healing comes through His Word. You know, words, He have a healing power. When someone that maybe you're bitter against asks forgiveness with full sincerity, that can bring a healing of that bitterness on the human level. But the Word of God brings us the greatest healing in the spiritual, the emotional, in the mind, in the heart, where we need healing through His Word. Look at this Psalm. Psalm 107 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So praise God for His healing. He comes with healing in His wings. And lastly, and just quickly, this last point, I'll just hit it pretty quickly, but if you go back to Malachi as we close this message. So this passage tells us three things about the coming of our Lord. His coming is the dawning of a new day. It's a healing from all of our brokenness, from our backslidings, from our bitternesses, from our spiritual blindnesses, a healing, and then it's a renewing. That's the third thing. Jesus comes and there will be a renewing of joyful living. Look what He says at the end of verse 2. He says, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So that the picture again that Malachi is painting here is that these little calves, these energetic little cows, they've been cramped up and cooped up in a stall, in a little area. But now they're let free to the mountainside. And so these young little calves can now skip along in freedom, with exuberance, with joy, liberated, joyfully, frisky, without worry, carefree. He says, you shall go forth as calves of the stall. And then He says in verse 3, and you shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes unto the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that almost sounds a bit vengeful, but all of us have different experience. But you know what is interesting here? It's again, Malachi's painting a very dramatic, very dynamic metaphor. You know, like in the Old Testament, when one king conquered another, what would they do? They would have the defeated king on the ground, and the conquering king would what? Put his foot on his neck, like that he defeated. That's in the book of Joshua, something along that line. So that was something that was done in ancient times. But here, He doesn't say that the righteous put their feet on the neck of the wicked. He says that He put their feet on the ashes, the dust. And so you say, well, I don't hate anybody that much. Neither do I, quite frankly, to want to think about that. But how about this? How about to any problem, any trouble, any crisis, any trial you think you just cannot overcome, any temptation, any difficulty, any pressure, the pressure you're under right now in your family or with your finances or maybe health, it will all be crushed. It will all become dust and you will be triumphant. And you will be exuberant, joyfully living for all eternity. So is it meaningless to serve the King of Kings? Never. Where's the God of justice? He triumphs, and we triumph through Him. Let's stand as we pray, please. I'm going to ask our pianist to come. And to just play that beautiful song, Still My Soul Be Still. And I'm just going to, maybe you have something in your life, you're crying out to God for healing today. He sent His Word and healed them. Claim the healing today. Maybe over bitterness. Maybe over your backsliding. Maybe you have a broken heart of disillusionment or disappointment. Maybe you're in depression or despair. You need healing today if you just want to step out of your seat. Just come and cry to God. You could just step out and come right now. Maybe there's a physical healing you need. Step out and come. And pray to God. Cry to God in your troubles. He sent His Word. His Word is going forth right now and He healed them. In the name of Jesus. Let Jesus touch you right now. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He came anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind. Ask God to heal you of your brokenheartedness. Ask God to heal you of your backsliding ways. Maybe some of you, you just struggle. You feel like you live for God one day and then you slide back the next. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. O Lord, we cry unto you. We are weak. So weak. Have mercy upon us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you bore our sins in your body. And now you say you give your peace to us. We claim your peace. Claim his peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. There it is. It's right there for you. Say, I take up your peace, Jesus, into my heart. My heart will not be troubled. It will not be afraid. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask John D. to come and lead us in our song.